Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Tzadik Tes, and we will begin from the top line of Daf Tzadik Tes Amid Aleph, Tanu Rabbanan. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refua Shalema. For Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchak Eliyahu ben Chayasara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Rifal Chaim Shar Yoshev ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim Biyam ben Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Yishloim Zizkin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Yael Bas Bela, and Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Hadasa. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Zizkin ben Meir Elchanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. Before we start the next Mishnah, it's important to chazer over and some of the yisoidos that we learned in the beginning of the Masechta, as they relate very much to today's daf. And that is, the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Aleph brought a braisa. The braisa said, Dalid reshuyos heim le'inyan Shabbos. There are four reshuyos of significance as it relates to Hilcha Shabbos. Two reshuyos midai raisa, and another two reshuyos midai rabbana. Midai raisa, the two reshuyos are a reshus harabin and a reshus hayachid. Now, it's possible to be neither a Rishos HaRabim or a Rishos HaYachid. In fact, most areas may potentially be neither a Rishos HaRabim or a Rishos HaYachid. And from a Deraisa standpoint, if you have a Rishos that's not a Rishos HaRabim, it's not a Rishos HaYachid, it's what's known as a Mako in Petur, it has no significance in Halacha. Midairaisa, it's only a Rishos HaRabim and a Rishos HaYachid. What's the definition? What's the textbook definition of a Rishos HaRabim? Loosely translated, it's a place that the Rabim goes to, but that's not true. Midday Raisa, in order to be considered a Rishus HaRabim, you have to meet very, very specific criteria. Number one, we just saw the Gemara. It would have to be 16 Amos wide. Number two, it would have to be an area that's mefulish mibeis sodom. If it's a dead end, it can never be a Rishus HaRabim. Number three, and this is big, according to some Rishayinim, has to be a place that 600,000 people pass, and according to some Rishayinim, 600,000 people every single day. The point is, a Rishus HaRabim has a very, very specific definition. What about a Rishus HaYachid? So in some sugyas, Rishus HaYachid is a private property. But as it relates to Hilcha Shabbos, Rishus HaYachid has nothing to do with private property versus public property. In fact, you could have a Rishus HaYachid smack in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim. The Hilcha Shabbos definition of a Rishus HaYachid is if you have an area that is surrounded by a wall, the wall is 10 tfachim tall, and the area itself is 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. So if it's 4 tfachim long by 4 tfachim wide, it has a kaisel, it has mechitzos, quote unquote, that's 10 tfachim tall. So midday raisa, that area is going to be considered a Rishos HaYachid. Now the truth is that even though the classic example of a Rishos HaYachid is an area that has mechitzos that are 10 tfachim tall, but if you have an area that really has no mechitza, doesn't have a wall, but it has height of 10 tfachim, so for example, you have a rock, a boulder, that's 10 tfachim tall and it's 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. Or if you have even a ditch that's 10 tfachim deep, but it's 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, that too would be considered a Rishus HaYachid. And obviously, whenever you talk about mechitzos, so you have to be cognizant of the halachos of gudachis and gudasik, and the halachos of pitikra, yerud v'soysim, and you have the halacha of lavud. So there's a whole bunch of halachos l'moshim yisinei that govern the laws of mechitzos. But just from a very, very high level, the definition of a Rishus HaYachid is any area that's 10 tfachim tall, and that's 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. So if you would have an area like that in the middle of a Rishus HaRabim, that area would now be, because you have a big pile of something that's 10 tfachim tall, and it's 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim, that's going to have a din of Rishus HaYachid Midei Raisa. Midei Raisa, anything that's neither one of those two categories has no bearing l'halacha. Stating that, Chum came along, and the Chum created two more Rishuyos. Chamim said, there's something called a Carmelis. What's a Carmelis? A Carmelis is an area that a lot of people are in, and people travel to, but at the same time, it doesn't meet the technical criteria of a Rishus HaRabim. A Carmelis, the Chamim said, you have to be Machmir. You have to be Machmir that maybe it should be treated like a Rishus HaRabim, and you have to be Machmir and treat it like a Rishus HaYachim. Midei Raisa, it has no significance. But with the Rabbanu, you have to go ahead and be Machmir. What's a Makim Petur? A Makim Petur is an area that's 10 tfachim tall, like a Rishus HaYachid, but whereas the Rishus HaYachid is Dalid by Dalid, the Makim Petur is less than Dalid by Dalid. So if you have an area that's 10 tfachim, in middle of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, let's say, but it's not Dalit by Dalit. So that area, what is it? It's not a Rosh Hashanah Yachid because it's not Dalit by Dalit. It's not a Carmelist. It's smack in the middle of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. What it's going to be is it's going to be treated like a Makkah in Petor either way. With that, Hakdama, Zokte Mishnah Chulyas Habar, Vehasela, Shehen Gevoyin Asoro, Urechavin Arba. If somebody has a ditch, and the ditch had a little bit of sand on top of it. So the ditch was, let's say, 9 tefachim deep, and then on top there was the chuyah of the bar. There was a little bit of sand, so that together it became 10 tefachim deep. Or sell if there was a rock that was 10 tefachim tall. If it's also dalid al dalid, aloch is anoitam lehem. If somebody would take something from it, or vanoisen al gabon, or somebody would put something two in it from Berushos Rabbim Chayev, he would be Chayev. Pachas Mikain, if it be less than 10 Tfachim, then the Halach is Potter, he's going to be Potter. What's the premise of this Halacha? That any area that you have that's 10 Tfachim tall or 10 Tfachim deep, and it's Dalit by Dalit, has a din of Berushos Hayachid. So if you take something from it and you put it into Berushos Rabbim, or if you take something from Berushos Rabbim and you put it into it, so it's going to be considered Hoytzah, Mirshos Hayachid, Lirushos Rabbin. If it was less than 10 Tvachim, but less than 10 Tvachim, it's not a Rishos Hayachid. So assuming it's in a Rishos Rabbin, it's less than 10 Tvachim, it's not a Makom Ptor. It's also not a Rishos Hayachid. As a result, in that case, you're going to be Pot. Now, if you'd go Dalan Amis, then you'd have another problem. Then you'd be Chayef, Ahavaris Dalan Amis, Rishos Rabbin. But as it relates to carrying from Rishos Hayachid to Rishos Rabbin, it would have to be 10 Tvachim. The rock would have to be 10 Tvachim tall, or the bar together with the little bit of sand that's on top of it would have to be 10 Tvachim deep. Zok digimar. Lovely the Misni Chulyas Abar Vahasal. The Mishnah is telling me a very straightforward halacha. And that is, there's a concept called a Rishosa Yochid that could be in a Rishosa Rabbin. It would have to meet the dimensions. It would have to be 10 by 4 by 4. As long as it does that, now you can't carry from Rishosa Rabbin to it, even if it's less than Dalit Amis. Why? Because it's going to be considered Haitza. So what were the two examples? You have a rock that's 10 Tvachim tall, or you have a bar. But the Mishnah didn't just say bar. The Mishnah says you have a bar together with its choil, together with its sand. So the Gemara says, what do we need that for? I mean, lovely, the Misni Chulyas Abar Vahasela. Listen, you have bar Vahasela. Say simple. The bar and the cello. Who cares that the sand? So the Gemara says, and sometimes the Tana, the Mishnah, threw in a chiddush agav urchi. We throw in extra language because to tell me another chiddush, what is that? Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, bar v'chayliso mitzdarf from last sorry. It could be mitzdarf the bar and its sand to make a mechitz of 10 tefachim. Maybe you would have thought that a bar, its walls is considered a mechitza, but it's considered a mechitza into itself, but you can't be mitzaref it by adding something on top of it. What is that? That's not part of the wall. So as a result, it shouldn't be considered part of the mechitza. Rabbi Yochanan said that that's not the way it works. A bar together with its sand is mitzaref. That's why the Mishnah mentioned chulas habar to teach me that Allah. It's really a price. A bar b'shus harabim. If you have a bar b'shus harabim, it's 10 tefachim deep. V'ruchav arba, and it's 4 tefachim wide. Eimim malin imen b'shabbat. Said Allah is, you're not allowed to take anything from it on Shabbos. If you're in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you can't take anything from it because you're carrying from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Elam kein asa lo mechitza, givoyo yutvachim. If you make a mechitza around the area that you're going to be standing in 10 tefachim tall, then you could take from the bar. Why? Because then it comes that you're also standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So if you're also standing in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, then it's going to be okay. Additionally, the ain't shoysen heimene b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. Elam kein hichnes lo roish avrubay. Meaning, am I allowed to drink from it on Shabbos? I'm not going to carry. I'm going to be standing on top of the bar. So if you're roish avrubay into the bar, then you could. If not, there's a concern that you may carry the water out, and that's why it's a problem. The Brisa continues and says, "Ubar v'chuliyasa mitzdarf in lasara." Take me mitzdarf the bar together with the choil to make up asara. So what do you see from here? You see again the bar and the choil are mitzdarf. That's why the Mishnah mentioned it. Rabbi Yochanan said it. Tayin amiyachi. We found it in a Brisa as well. Boy, minei Rav Mordechai Rav. Rav Mordechai asks Rava, or some have the gear say Rabba, the following question: Amar b'shus harabim gvayu v'rochav dalid. If someone has you have a beam in a b'shus harab, it was 10 tefachim tall. It was 4 tefachim wide. So what is that lahalacha? It's a Rishus HaYachid. V'zorak v'nachal gabav. And then somebody took something. He was standing in the Rishus HaRabim. He threw it and it landed on top of this beam. Now, what's the halacha? Is he chayiv or is he not chayiv? So at first glance you would say, of course he's chayiv. He went from a Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. He did Zrika. Okay, Zrika is a tall devaitzah. So he should certainly be chayiv. But Reb Mordechai wasn't sure. He said, we say Ari Akira be'isra, Ari Anocha be'isra. So it's classic Haitzah. Oidom, or maybe, keep them welcome to Kaas Yolai. We learned that the Adir of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, that's Lamaila Me'asara Tfachin, doesn't have a din of a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. It has a din of a Makam Tor. Now, if you're going to throw something from a Rosh Hashanah Rabbin onto a Rishos Hayachid, onto a koisel, or onto a beam that's 10 tefachim tall. How's it going to get there? So just basic physics. It's going to have to go higher than the 10 tefachim and then land on top of the 10 tefachim. If that's the case, once it goes higher than the 10 tefachim, it's now in the ear space of the Rishus HaRabim, which has the din of a Makom Tor. So even though you technically threw something from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYachid, but there was a stopover. It went from a Rishus HaRabim to a Makom Ptor, and from the Makom Ptor it went to the Rishus HaYachid. So the Gemara's question is, do we say you did an Akira B'Issa and an Akira B'Issa? Well, maybe mean that it came Derech a Makom Ptor, so like, maybe in that case, you're not going to be Chayv. So Rabbi told Rav Mordechai, and it's really a Mefurish Mishnah. So that was what he told Rav Mordechai. So Rabbi Mordechai heard Rabbi's answer, but he went for a second opinion. Also Shai Rav Yosef. So he went from Rabbi to the other God of Latar. He went to Rav Yosef. Amalei Masisi, Rav Yosef, all the same thing, it's a Mishnah. Also Shai Rabbi. Then he went to Abaya, who was Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef's Talmud. Amalei, and Abaya told him the same thing. Masnisini. So he went to Rabbah, Rabbi Yosef. Then he goes to the next door. He goes to the Talmud, Abaya. They also the same thing. It's a Mishnah. So the Gemara says, Amalus Ramartchai told Abaya, Kulchu, or it sounds like he told everybody, Beruka da Hadadi Tafisu. Rukas Miloshin Roik. Kulchem Roik Echad Atem Roikikim, Rashi says. You're all spitting the same spittle. You're all saying the same thing. Amalei. So they. So they told him, what, that, like Israel? You don't think it's a Mefurish Mishnah? I'll tell you the Mishnah. But Tanan, the Mishnah we just learned. What did Mishnah say? If someone's standing in Rosh Hashanah and he puts something on a rock, if the rock is 10 tefachim tall, so then that loch is going to be chayiv. If it's less than 10 tefachim tall, you're not going to be chayiv. Clearly, this is the case. You're in a Rosh Hashanah and you're putting something on top of a rock that's 10 tefachim tall. It went through the ear space of the Rosh Hashanah, which is a Makom Ptor. But you see that if you go from Rosh Hashanah to a Makom Ptor to Rosh Hashanah, what's the halacha? You're going to be chayiv. I'm going to say, he told him, Dilma Masnisen B'machat. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about where it was a needle. It was something so small that it takes up so little space. So the Gemara says, Machanami, even if it's a needle. Okay, it's very little space, but he has to blame Medalia Porta. Okay, but the little bit of space it takes is in the... in the Makom Ptor, it's in the ear space above 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, the Islay Mayrasha. No, you could say that maybe the case is where there was something protruding from the side of the rack. Meaning, a rack that's 10 tefachim tall has a din of a Rishus HaYachid. But here's a chiddush. If you have something protruding outside of the side of the rack, even if that part is not L'mayla Me'asar HaTvachim, it's going to have a din of a Rishus HaYachid because it's part of the Rishus HaYachid. In the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara talked about Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, Tzidei Rishus HaYachid, Chorei Rishus HaYachid. It's like a chor, it's like a hole inside a Rishus HaYachid, a hole in the wall, and it has a din. This is not a hole, this is a protrusion. But the point is that even though it's not l'mayla me'asara, but it's protruding from something that goes 10 tefachim tall, it itself gets a din of a Rishus HaYachid, and it's for that reason you're going to be chayev. So it didn't go derech Makom Ptor inami. Another way you can learn this is deramya b'charitza. Maybe the case was where there was a hole inside this sela, and you took the machat, or whatever it was, it doesn't have to be a machat, you went through the hole, and you brought it to the top. So you ended up carrying it from the Rosh HaRabim, l'mayla me'asar tefachim, put it on top of the sela, but you didn't go through the ear space of the Rosh HaRabim. You actually went through the inside of the Rosh HaYachid. But it ended up in the same place. It ended up on the top of the Rosh HaYachid. The mice that ended up in the top of the Rosh HaYachid without going through the ear space of the Rosh HaRabim. There's two ways you can get to this point. Bottom line is, that's where Rav Mordechai felt that you have no raya from the Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah, you could always be madchik that maybe it happened in a different way. Another shayla. Amar Rav Miyasha. Rabbi Yochanan had the following question. If you have a wall in Rosh Hashanah that's 10 tefachim tall, any rochav arba, but it's not 4 tefachim wide. So if it's 10 tefachim tall and it's not 4 tefachim wide, what is it? It's a Makom Ptor. Umukif lekarmelis, but here's the chiddush. This area was surrounding a karmelis. Vasoy Rishus HaYachid. And because it was surrounding the karmelis, it made the karmelis into a Rishus HaYachid. So what happened was the wall itself was 10 tefachim tall. Because it was 10 tefachim tall, it's considered a koisel. So if it's considered a koisel, if it surrounds an area, the area inside of it will now get a din of a Rosh HaYachid. But the wall itself wasn't 4 tefachim wide. And because the wall itself wasn't 4 tefachim wide, the wall itself doesn't have a din of a Rosh HaYachid. The wall itself has a din of a Makom Ptor. Right? What do you need in order to have a Rosh HaYachid? You have to have an area that's 4x4 enclosed by a wall. The wall has to be 10 tefachim tall. This area was dalad by dalad. It was more than that. It was a big area. It was a karmelis. The wall itself was 10 tefachim tall. There's no shayla. So the area inside the wall, without a question, had a din of
a Rishos Sayachid. But that wasn't Rabbi Yochanan's Shaila. Rabbi Yochanan wanted to know, what about the wall itself? Is the wall a Rishos Sayachid or not? L'chayu, the wall shouldn't be a Rishos Sayachid. The wall created a Rishos Sayachid for everything inside of it. But the wall itself is not Dalet Vachim. So being that it's not Dalet Vachim, L'chura, it shouldn't be. Stating that, Rabbi Yochanan had a tzad that maybe the wall itself should be a Rishos Sayachid. What was the shayla? Me and Rina, do we say, kibbe deinu rochim dalu makom toru? It's not dalu tvachim, so it's a makom toru. Oidom, kibbe deinu say Rishos Sayachid. Being that this world created a Rishos Sayachid, kimanda mali damyo, we look at it as being part of the Rishos Sayachid. So if you look at it as being part of the Rishos Sayachid, so meaning we look at the whole Rishos Sayachid as if it's full. Those are the literal words, the kimanda mali damyo. But the point is, it made the Rishos Sayachid, so if it made the Rishos Sayachid, it should be part of the Rishos Sayachid. So the Gemara gives a very geshmaka resolution to this question. Amar Ula said, Kal v'chayme. I think this is a Kal v'chayme. L'chayre moysa, mechitza, la'atzmai, la'kol shkein. If this wall can make another area a Rishos Sayachid, Kal v'chayme in itself should be considered like a Rishos Sayachid. It can make the other area, make the whole Karmelis into a Rishos Sayachid. The area that it encircled just became a Rishos Sayachid. So you can tell me it itself is not a Rishos Sayachid. This is one of the Yud Gimel Midrash Turn the dresses, man. Lachir Moise Mechitza Lasme, Kosh Eat Manami, Rabhi Barashi, Rabhi, Rabhi Sakam, Rabbi Yochanan, Kaisabush Rabin Gavo Yod, the inner Rochiv Arba, Umukif, Le Carmelis, Vasoy Rishos Ayachid, Hazorik Vinach Al Gab of Chayev. Why? Lachir Moise Mechitza Lasme, Lakoshkin, literally verbatim, this Psakaloch, another Shiloh, another Geshmaka Shiloh. Why Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan posed the question, Bar Tisha, if you have a bar, you have a ditch that's 9 Tvachim deep, Fakim Yemenu Chulio, and somebody goes and he digs a tenth tefach. So he dug a little bit of sand out of a ditch. The ditch was 9 tefachim. Now he dug a tefach. So it comes out now the ditch is 10 tefachim. So from a halachic significance, as it relates to Hilchos Shabbos, what he just did was not just take a shovel full of sand. He converted an area from being a makom patur to a rishos hayachid. A bar that's 9 tefachim deep is a rishos harabim or a caramelist, or at the very least not a Rishos Hayachid. Now that he dug a 10th tefach, so now it became a Rishos Hayachid. But Rabbi Yochanan Shaila was like this. What would be if the person now took this sand that he just shoveled and he put it down in a Rishos Harabim? Would he be Chayiv or would he not be Chayiv? What's the Shaila? When he dug the sand, it was 9 tefachim deep. If it was 9 tefachim deep, it was part of the Rishos Harabim. Let's assume it was middle of the Rishos Harabim. So it was part of the Rishos Harabim. It was part of the Rishos Harabim. He's carrying from Rishos Harabim to Rishos Harabim. Right? When he did the Akira, he did an Akira in Rishos Harabim. But then again, Gitay V'yadei Ban Ke'echad, that the same time that he dug that 10th tefach, what happened? He converted the area into Rishos Hayachid. So once he converted into an area into Rishos Hayachid, and now he puts it down in Rishos Harabim, so now he just did Aitzah. He went from Rishos Hayachid to Rishos Harabim. So this was Rabbi Yochanan Shaila Mahu. Akiras Chefetz, Vasias Mechitza, Bahadeh Hadodi, Ka'asu, Mechayiv. Do you say that the two things are happening simultaneously, and as a result, you're going to be Chayiv? Meaning, Enochanami, at the time that you started the Akira, it was 9 Tvachim deep. It was part of the Rishos Harabim. But when you completed it, it was already 10 Tvachim deep. So Bahadeh Hadodi, at the same time that I did the Akira, I removed the sand, I also created this Rishos Hayachid. So maybe it's considered Oitzah, Ilay Mechayev. Or maybe not going to be Chayev. So let me keep it Lay Yasim. Keep it Lay Havim Mechitza Asar, Me Kar, Ilay Mechayev. And if you're going to tell me, said Rabbi Yochanan, that maybe the Allah is not going to be Chayev, why aren't you going to be Chayev? Because at the end of the day, you have to look at the beginning of the Akira. You don't say that Gitoy V'yadei Ban Kechel. You don't see that the two things happen Behadi Adadi. But rather, at the time that I did the Akira, it was only 9 Fachim Div, so it's for that reason going to be Potter. What would be in the following case? Similar, but a little different. Bar Yud. What would be if you had a bar that was 10 Fachim Div? Then just the opposite. And now you put a little bit of sand inside. Umiyata. And you were mamayed it. So you did an akira in the Rishos Harabim, and now you do a hanacha of sand inside this bar, which is 9 tefachim, which is 10 tefachim deep. But as soon as you do the hanacha, at the moment that the hanacha happens, what happens? Now it's not 10 tefachim anymore. Now it's only 9 tefachim. So if you look at it the moment before I did the hanacha, it was a Rishos Hayachid. I did akira Rishos Harabim, I did hanacha in Rishos Hayachid. But then again, the moment the hanacha is completed, it converts from being a Rishos Yachid, and now it's only 9 tefachim deep, so it's technically part of the Rishos Harabim. So what was the Shaila? Ma'u hanochas chefetz v'siluk mechitza v'hadi adadi kasi u'mechayiv oiloi mechayiv, or maybe not. But in the first case, the Shaila was where I created the Rishus at the time that I did the Akira. In the second case, what happened was I destroyed the Rishus at the time that I did the Hanacha. So the Gemara says, Tif Shalemi today, I don't understand why we can't be pushed at this from something Rabbi Yochanan himself said. Time we learned to the Mishnah. If somebody throws something four Amis against a Koisel, so someone threw something four Amis in Rishus Rabbi. But the thing that he threw didn't land on the floor, it landed on the side of a wall. So if it landed on the side of the wall, that's more than 10 Tvachim tall, because Arik Ba'avra. And he's Potter. Why? Because it's in the Rishus Rabbim. And anything that's Lamaila Me'asar in a Rishus Rabbim, you're going to be Potter. Incidentally, even if this wall was 4 Tvachim wide, it doesn't matter. You'd still be Potter. Because even though the Kaisel has a din of a Rishus Hayachid, but it's only if it's on top of the Rishus Hayachid. If it's on the side of the Rishus Hayachid, it won't have a din of Rishus Hayachid. Unless you have a protrusion, like we had earlier in the Yomid. But the point is that if it landed on the side, not on top, so it's considered to have landed in the Rishus Rabbim. If it's Lamaila Me'asar, that's the aver of Rishus Rabbim Lamaila Me'asar Tvachim has a din of a Makom Tul. If it was less than 10 Tvachim from the ground, Gezorik Baretz, then you're going to be Chayiv. It's as if it landed on the ground. Gezorik Baretz, Arba Am is Chayiv. Therefore, you'll be Chayiv. Rabbeinu Abba. Now, the Gemara discussed this statement that Rabbi Yochanan made. And the Gemara said, I don't understand. Valoi no, or this Braisa. It never landed. So, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explained, but Velo Shmena Shanina, we're talking about something very sticky, a sticky thing. The point is, it was able to stick. Freak the Gemara, I don't understand. If this is something sticky, and this thing is sticking to the ground, it sounds like the person threw it a perfect dollar amos. So what happens when you're exactly 4 amos away from a wall, you throw something on the wall? Now the space between you and the wall is less than 4 amos, because there's something sticking to the wall. So it just narrowed the distance between you and the wall, which means now it's less than dalan amos. If it's less than dalan amos, that means you didn't do avar dalan amos pshus ram. If you didn't do avar dalan amos pshus ram, you should be potter. Right, vamai, hukam emai narba amos. Elamai, what do you see from here? That being that when I threw it, it was Dalet Amos, so that's enough to say that I'm going to be Chayv. I don't care about what happened afterwards. So the same thing should be over here. If somebody took something from a Rishus Rabbim and put it into a pit that was 10 Tvachim deep, and then he filled it up, so now it's not 10 Tvachim anymore, now it's only 9 Tvachim, for example. So what are you telling me? That you should maybe be Potter, because now it's only 9 Tvachim. How could Rabbi Yochanan have entertained such a possibility? Rabbi Yochanan himself is the one that explained that braisa about someone who threw something against the side of the wall. That what's the halacha? That bitvelo shmeino shaninu, and as a result, even though it right now there's less than 4 amas between me and the wall, but if it started with 4 amas, that's enough. See, here too, it started with 10 tvachim, so it should have a dinner versus hayachin. So the Gemara gives a pasht to Teretz. The Gemara says, hasam le mevatale, hacha mevatale. There's a thick difference between putting sand in a ditch versus sticking a sticky object against the wall. The sticky object that's against the wall, eventually you're going to remove. You don't want it to be there la'ilam va'ed. But when you take sand and you put it into a ditch, so presumably, or certainly possibly, you're filling it up. So when you put sand into a ditch, what we look at it from a halachic standpoint is not some external thing that happens to be there. No, you're actually filling it up. When you remove it, you're removing it. So over there, the halacha is that you can say that it impacts the nature of the rishus, because it's something that's going to be there. It's something that's going to be bottle at some point. But over here, this is something that you're going to remove. So over here, it's something that's not going to be there. Loy mevatale, I mean the loy mevatale. So obviously, the fruit that's on the side of the wall doesn't say that now it wasn't a havara of dalet amos. One last shayla boyu rova zarek daf. Somebody threw a daf, a board, and it landed on top of pegs. Mau, what's the halacha? So somebody had yesedos inside a rishus harabim, and now he threw a daf on top of these yesedos. So the question is, what's the halacha? Do we say that now that he threw these yesedos on top, so you have now an area that's 4 tvachim, so maybe the area that just became, or meaning the yesedos weren't 4 tvachim wide. It was 10 tvachim tall, but it wasn't 4 tvachim wide. Because it wasn't 4 tvachim wide, so it didn't have a din of a rishus hayachid. So if I threw it from rishus rabbi on top of it, so why would I be chay? But now that the daf landed on top, so now it is 4 tvachim. So now that it is 4 tvachim, now it is a rishus hayachid. So based on that, maybe I should be chay. So the Gemara says, I don't understand this question. Mai kami bayole. It sounds like the question is, hanochas chefetz vasiyas mechitza bahadei adodikos. I mean, it sounds like this is the Shaila. The Shaila is where the Hanukkah is happening at the same time as the Mechitza being created. This was Rabbi Yochanan Shaila. Hainad Rabbi Yochanan. Right? Which one of Rabbi Yochanan Shaila? So Pashit, it's a discussion in the Rishonim. Pashit is the first Shaila. Right? The first Shaila was someone dug the 10th Tefach. So Bahadi Adadi, when you did the Akira, what happened? I created Rishus. It's very similar. Bahadi Adadi, where I did not the Akira, but I did the Hanacha, I created the Rishus. In Rabbi Yochanan's Ibaya, I created the Rishus when I did the Akira. In Rabbi's Ibaya, I created the Rishus when I did the Hanacha. But the point is, Hainu de Rabbi Yochanan, isn't that the same? Shailu Sadimara says, no, keep coming by the Rava. Rava's case was a little bit different. It was going to Zorak Daf. The chevitz agabav. He threw a daf, and there was something on top of the daf. This was his shayla. What's the question? Do you say that this is literally Rabbi Yochanan shayla? At the end of the day, the daf and the chevitz landed at the same time that it became a rishus. It wasn't a rishus ayachid before it landed, and as a result, maybe you're going to be potter, Rabbi Yochanan shayla. Maybe this is different because being that there's something on top of the daf, so kivan dolei efsher dolei midla purta v'hader nayich. Maybe, being that there's two things that I threw the daf, and on top of that there was a chefetz. So maybe, b'mitzius, what happens is, first the daf settles on top of the yesedos. The thing that's on top of the daf is not settled yet. Right? If you would throw two things, you put two things down, one on top of another. So the lower thing may settle before the thing on top of it does. So the point is you're assuming that the hanocha happened at the same time, simultaneous, to creating the Rishus. It's not true. Because the Rishus happened as soon as the daf settled. The daf settled before the chefetz on top of it settled. There were two anachas over here. There was the anach of the daf, and then there was the anach of the chefetz on top of the daf. So if you're looking at the anach of the daf, so that's Bahadi Adadi, that's literally Rabbi Yochanan Shiloh. We don't need to ask the same Shiloh again. But being that there was a chefetz on top of it, so that's a wrinkle that Rabbi Yochanan never discussed. Because the daf settled, and then after the daf settled, the chefetz settled. But being that there's a little bit of a lag time between the two hanochos, so it comes out the second hanocha happened after the first hanocha. Once the first hanocha happened, it established the Rishus HaYochid. Now the second hanocha happens. And because now the second hanocha happens, so now you have the hanocha in the Rishus HaYochid. So this is already a different shayla. Maybe in this case you're going to be chayef. So, Gemara, teku.